Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Picnic. Matt Klein's going to be here. This is, of course, our Wednesday night segment where we are we're picking nicknames, legitimate, authentic nicknames for all of the 2016 Chicago Cubs. That's players, that's coaches, that's general managers. We can't let this season go by when they win the World Series and be like, we didn't give them good nicknames. They need to have nicknames. I mean, look at the 84 Cubs. Everyone's got a nickname on that team. So we are doing that tonight. We'll need your help. 312-981-7200. We're doing John Lackey, and we're doing Miguel Montero. We do two each Wednesday. So this week, we still have Jake Arrieta, Anthony Rizzo, John Lester. Those guys are coming up later in August, probably in September. But tonight, we're doing John Lackey and Miguel Montero. That's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Well, earlier this year, Democrat State Representative Jack Franks made a startling announcement to say he was not running for re-election. The Democrat from McHenry County has been in Springfield since 1998. He's making the move from the State House to run for McHenry County Board Chairman. Franks will be leaving a Springfield life that's seen a few different governors, two of which went to jail and one that he impeached. He also leaves amidst a political battle over budgets and ideology, battles that Franks has admitted he will not miss. But what's behind the move to leave the State House to run for county office? Representative Jack Franks joins me tonight. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Justin. I really appreciate it.
So let's talk about this. Why leave Springfield? I mean, you've, like I said, since 1998, and you've got a name recognition. You're a well-known Democrat in Springfield. What's the move to not run for re-election?
Because I think Springfield's broken. It's both parties are bad, and it's come to my conclusion that each party wants the other side to lose. They both suffer under the delusion that it's okay for real people to suffer as long as the other side gets blamed. So they don't care at all about the people or about policy or what's doing best for the citizens. It's all about raw power.
How long did it take for you to figure that out?
Well, I really was hopeful under Governor Rauner. Some of my family members supported him, and we needed a change. We thought it would go forward. But it quickly devolved into gridlock, and I was hoping that we'd be able to show the nation how we could work together bipartisanly. But it's clear that it wasn't going to happen because both sides, it was almost like a death struggle, whether for either the heart of the Republican Party or the heart of the Democratic Party, and it got to be only about politics. And I don't see it getting better in the short term, and I thought that my efforts could be better spent in McHenry County where I could implement some of these reforms that I've passed in Springfield.
Well, I want to talk about McHenry County. There's a lot going on politically, and we'll talk about all of that. I'm sure. Fascinated by the county politics there. But back to Springfield, I mean, you have, since 1998, I mean, there's no joke. I mean, that's Governor Ryan, that's Governor Blagojevich. It's Governor Quinn. It's Governor Rauner.
I fought with them all.
Yeah, but there has, I guess that's what I'm getting at, is there has been gridlock involved. It hasn't always been bipartisan. It's been one party. I mean, you saw Blagojevich and Madigan, Quinn and Madigan kind of go at each other. Talk about being in an environment where there's so much conflict all the time.
Well, it used to be that you could actually talk to the other representatives, and we would have dinner, and you'd go out for a drink, and you'd get a lot of work done after hours because you'd say, hey, I'm working on this. Can you work with me on it? That ended now. I have always hosted bipartisan dinners for the freshmen and had them over to my house. After Rauner got elected, the lieutenant governor was there. Everybody was there. We were working together. I tried to put it together again this year. They weren't allowed to come over. They couldn't come over. They couldn't be seen with the other side. It had gotten to be so partisan. And I can say, under Blagojevich, for instance, when I was complaining about him, I was the only one for a long time. But after a while, even the Democrats came with me and complained about him. Here, the Republicans are so into Rauner's pocket, and the Democrats are so scared of Rauner's money that they're all in Madigan's arms, that both sides have just gone way to their very polarized. So a guy like me who's in the middle, who's trying to be the honest broker, it's a rarity, and we're not going to be around for long. Because both sides get mad at us. I stop Speaker Madigan all the time. I've never voted for a tax increase, and the supermajority that Rauner always hits him over the head with is mythological because it doesn't exist. He needs 71 votes for these tax increases, and I'm never going to vote for one, and I've told him that. So I've been able to stifle Mike Madigan. You know, one person can make a huge difference in Springfield, and I've stopped him.
It's pretty amazing. And Democrats, and I would say some Democratic voters, too, around the state are like, these are things we want to see change. Jack Franks is standing in the way of that change. Why do you take such a hard line in the idea that you're not going to be ever before a tax increase?
Well, because I haven't seen the government ever reform. And I can't in good conscience ask people for more money when I see our government doing the same thing over and over. For instance, is it really necessary to give ExxonMobil a $25 million tax break each year for offshore drilling? Now, I didn't get an A in geography, but we're not doing any offshore drilling in Illinois. I'm pretty sure. Okay? And I know I'm
There's
sitting...
There's the Illinois River.
That's right.
I guess it's not offshore, but go ahead.
And I'm sitting in the sacred tower of the Tribune. And, you know, is it really necessary, and I know you're going to hate this, the fact that newspapers get $33 million a year in tax breaks for buying ink? You know, do we? It just goes on and on and on. Do we really want? Should it be our public policy to give hundreds of millions of dollars to large multinational corporations, many of whom do not pay taxes in this state, and we subsidize them while they fire taxpaying Illinoisans?
Why are we? Why do we not hear those stories? Why don't we hear about that? Is it just a strong lobby that keeps it down? I mean, tell us about how it works in Springfield and why these things aren't on the table, but tax increases are.
Yeah, insider lobbyists do pretty well in Springfield. And it's a lot of money now. I tell you, I've never seen so much money in politics. And since Citizens United has opened the floodgates, our politics have been polluted. It's changed. It's become bitterly partisan. And we've seen it in Washington, but we've never really seen it in Springfield. But it is now infested Springfield. And the amounts of money that are there have totally corrupted the entire process.
For you, I mean, obviously being a representative and holding a seat in McHenry County, it's a Republican district. It always has been. It's been an anomaly. And, I want to ask you how you kept it for so long, being the only Democrat coming out of that county. But I mean, it does have the ability. I mean, you stepping down and or deciding not to run again does have implications in the sense that it could turn over to Republican Party. Is that something that you thought about at all? That you have any concern about when it talks to the balance of the way that the parties work in Springfield?
Listen, I don't think anybody should have a supermajority, and I think people should work together, and I think we ought to have term limits on leaders. I think that's one of the problems we have in Springfield. And I was the leader in the House. I passed the independent maps movement in the House. I had the best bill going in the entire state, and it got stymied in the Senate. I think we need real reform. I'm not loyal to a party so we can be in power. I joined the Democratic Party because I care about people, and I want to help people. And I can see that that's no longer possible many times in Springfield because we've never hurt so many people. I mean, we take away higher education funding. We take away funding for needy children. We take away money for seniors who are homebound. And it's mean-spirited. And then we pass these ridiculous budgets that aren't balanced. I was one of four people who got up and vote. And I was the only person in the entire General Assembly, the only person who got up and spoke against the stopgap budget, saying, guys, it is not balanced. Right. You're lying about this.
Why are you the only person? And I understand. You sound good. It's a good politician. Say I'm the only one. I did this.
But
I
it's
did
true.
This. But why are you the only one?
I don't need the job. First of all, you know? Unfortunately, 47% of the people there, it's their only job. So they have to, if they're going to get the help from the party and from their leaders, they have to follow the party line and they have to vote. Now, this was a group effort by both the Republicans and Democrats. They both got up singing Kumbaya and breaking their arms, patting themselves on the back. I was the one causing the problem, saying we're going to have a lot, folks. We're going to have higher debt now. Our credit rating is going to go down. We now have $10 billion in unpaid bills, and our deficit's grown by $8 billion. This is unconstitutional. It's unbalanced.
Let me play devil's advocate. I mean, doesn't Springfield need people like you? Doesn't it need people who are going to be reformers, or at least in a sense, call out some of the things that are happening, so it's not just an insider game? I mean,
are you doing
the state a disservice by not running for reelection?
You know, the gentleman who's running in my place, John Bartman, is going to do a great job. He's a guy who's cut from the same cloth, and I think he'll do a wonderful job if he's fortunate enough to win. And I think we have the smartest voters in all of Illinois and McHenry County because they're bipartisan. They look at the person and not the individual. So I think John can do a great job. But it's time for someone else to try there. And I tell you what really got me is the fact that I've passed so many reform measures in the State House over the objection of my county board, who have hired lobbyists with our taxpayer dollars to keep our property taxes artificially high, that I knew that the best efforts that I could do to help the citizens of McHenry County was to come home and to cut their property taxes.
From one political swamp to another. We'll talk yes. with Representative Jack Franks, who is not running for re-election in McHenry County, instead running for chairman of the McHenry County Board. We'll continue our conversation here on the Down. We'll take a quick break. We'll pick it back up in just a couple minutes. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Representative Jack Franks from Marengo. He is not running for re-election, instead running for chairman from the McHenry County Board. You know, you kind of mentioned that. I'd love to like sort of get a primer here on McHenry County politics. From what I know, and I grew up in Wonder Lake, Illinois, but I left there when I was 18 when I went to college. It's primarily Republican. It always has been. Towns like McHenry, Woodstock, Wonder Lake. It's primarily Republican.
Yes, it is. It's overwhelmingly Republican. When I was first elected in 1998 to the State House, George Ryan was on the ballot that time for governor, and he got 76% of the vote in my district.
Wow, yeah.
I beat the only incumbent in the state to lose that year. And it was a landslide. I won by 138 votes out of 31,000 cast. So it was pretty
close. Well, why? I mean, you have so many Republicans. I mean, you still to this day are the only Democrat that's comes out of McHenry County. Why? What was it about your situation that got you in the seat in the first place?
Well, I think I've been fortunate. My wife's here with me tonight. She walked with me. Where our family's been there for a long time. We still live on the same family farm mm-hmm. as my parents, you know, across the street. So our family's been there for a while. We're well known. But I'm not, you know, a crazy, liberal. I'm a realist. We're business owners as well. We work with both business and labor. So I've been supported by both the Chambers of Commerce as well as, you know, the AFL-CIO. I'm able to work with both sides. I think it's important to be bipartisan and to bring people together. And I think I've always worked with the other side. And I think people don't like highly partisan politicians. You know, they're tired of the rhetoric. They're yeah. tired of the ideologues. They want problem solvers who are going to listen and work with people. And I've been fortunate that people have been very kind
to me. Well, let's talk about some of the, I mean, you've got your finger on the pulse of what's happening in some of those towns, Marengo, Wonder Lake, some of the towns in McHenry County. I mean, what are some of the issues that they're facing? And I mean, I know development's always an issue out there. Jobs and what's happened in Harvard has been a big issue. What are some of the issues that, you know, McHenry County residents are facing?
Well, the biggest issue facing McHenry County by far, is our property taxes. We are in the top 0.1% in the entire country on property taxes. So for the same value house for someone here in Chicago, and you put that house in McHenry County, same value, mm-hmm. we'd pay 2.5 times more in property taxes than you do here in Chicago. So as a result, McHenry County was one of the fastest growing.
Why is that? Why is it because there's just no industry to pull taxes from?
Very little industry, and it's how we fund our schools. You know, and at one time, McHenry County was one of the fastest growing counties in the entire country. Over the last 5 years, we've actually lost population. So as a result, our property taxes continue to rise. And one of the bills I tried to pass in Springfield, except our county board, of course, hired a lobbyist with our tax dollars to defeat it, was to say when your property values fall, that your property taxes cannot go up. Right? I think that makes sense. Because if the citizens have less, then the government should have less.
Right.
Well, that's not how it works. Because in McHenry County and the other collar counties that have this PTEL thing, the property tax extension limitation law, it was put in 1991 when our property values were rising. No one ever anticipated that our property values would fall. So it became an anchor. So what happens is the local governments have automatically get an increase of the consumer price index or 5%, whichever is less. So what these governments have been doing is automatically taking these increases even when the values have fallen. So as a result, when the property values fell 40%, their tax rate mm-hmm. still went up 30%. So
you have a situation where the real estate market collapses and the country, whether it be the job rate or whatever, the country's down and the municipalities are not responding to that.
Nor was the county. Now, I can tell you, Valley High Nursing Home, which is a very important thing to have, it's for the indigent in McHenry County. Their annual budget's approximately $11 million, their expenditures, right? Right now, right now, they have a surplus of $43 million. So they have 4 years in reserves. It's crazy. So here we are overtaxing the folks while they're while we're losing population and continuing to just fatten up the government.
How do you, I mean, you tried it, got blocked. I mean, how do you do it? I mean, you've done it at the State House where you've tried to change the way that the property tax formula plays out in McHenry
right.
County and other counties in the state of Illinois.
Right.
But how do you approach the idea of restructuring, reforming tax structures when you're not going to be in Springfield?
Well, I can say we could do a lot of that locally, and I'm really glad you asked that, Justin, because what I'd like to do, for instance, is McHenry County has 24 county board members, which is ridiculously large. Cook County has 17, and they're only 10 times larger than us, right? Makes no sense. So I'd like to cut the size of the county board in half. Also, I'd like to change the structure of the county board so we have single-member districts, so there'll be much more accountability to the voters. We need to do that. I want to institute term limits for guys like me who are going to be the chairman, because I don't want anyone to be able to accumulate so much power, because I've seen what doesn't work in Springfield. So I want to change that structure. And then I think we can look at ways to consolidate. I passed a law a few years ago to allow DuPage County, and you had my friend Dan Cronin here recently to talk about his consolidation efforts, and he did a great job. And we used Dan as the prototype. So now I've passed that law, and it's sitting on the governor's desk to allow the same thing for both Lake and McHenry counties. And here in the state of Illinois, we have 7,000 units of government. I want to be able to consolidate.
How do you
some
do that? I mean, obviously, I mean, it's an interesting election strategy to come in and say, I'm going to cut half the people that are going to be on my board, because, I mean, you're not making friends.
I'm not looking to make friends.
Yeah, I mean, and consolidation means that if you're going to be consolidating government, that people are going to lose their areas.
Right.
I mean, is that pose a problem for you to,
sure.
to be able to make that a reality when you're running against some of the board members?
My job is not to protect fiefdoms and to provide bureaucratic jobs for well-connected insiders. My job is to provide accountability and transparency and efficient government to the taxpayers. They're not going to like it, the insiders, but it's going to happen. And as chairman of the county board, I'll be the individual who's able to set the agenda. So when I set the agenda, I can tell you what's going to be voted on. And I'm going to keep putting it on the agenda until it passes. And if they want to make a lot of bad votes, they certainly can, but they're not going to have any quarter from me. And we're going to put the hard votes out there. And if they want to vote against it, they can go and tell their constituents why they think we ought to have higher property taxes and bigger government.
I mentioned this to Pete right before you came on, that I was when I was digging around to get ready for this, I was surprised that that wasn't an elected position, that the McHenry County Board Chair was one that it was appointed in some form, or it just wasn't a. And you tried to get it to be elected, and it went to a referendum, and the voters said no.
Well, it's a long. Can I tell you the story?
Yeah, tell me the story.
This is the good story. All right, McHenry County has 24 county board members. Now, there's 13 committees. So what the chairman would do is he would always promise people a committee chairmanship if they would vote for this person. So it was totally insiders helping insiders. And it's not like we're a rural little podunk area anymore. We're 310,000 people. We're the fifth largest county in the entire state. I mean, we're bigger than some countries, right? And we have big budget, the whole deal. So I'm thinking, why are we pretending that this is like, you know, a little country hamlet? It's not that way anymore. Part of it is, but it isn't. So I tried to pass a bill in the House of Representatives to have it elected, and I knew it wasn't going to pass. And I got my butt kicked on that, and I lost. And that's okay, because I wanted to bring the issue forward. So I had to do it incrementally. So then I figured, okay, I went to the county board. I said, hey, would you please do this? No, they threw me out. No, you're wrong. Nobody wants this. So I ran a referendum, and the only way you could do it legally is to change the structure. It'd be an executive form. That wasn't my first choice. I wanted to have a county board chairman instead of executive, but the law only allowed me to run this referendum. Now I lost, but I brought it forward. I got 35% of the vote. I'm like, okay, guys, now are you going to do it? Because if you don't, I'm going to run the referendum again, and it's going to pass. So how are you going to take it? You going to take it easy? You going to take it hard? So they did it.
Jack Franks. You're going to take it easy? You're going to take it hard?
It's going to happen.
That's your tagline, right?
Yeah, it's going to happen. So want to work with me or not? Either way, it's going to happen.
And they did. I mean, they are the ones that officially sort of made it public.
Right. Well, they had to, because they knew I was going to do it again. That's what I told them. I also asked them to run a referendum to reduce the size of the county board. They refused to do that. Now, this time, since they know I'm running on the ballot, they're running an advisory referendum.
I have to say, I mean, your opponent in this election, Mike Walkup, he says, you know what, that, you know, this kind of politics or the idea of a past of not being able to work with the board. It's not good for a this is just another recipe for gridlock.
You know what the problem is in McHenry County? Because they're all on the same team, and it's a lot of good old boys helping each other out. They don't want to ever change anything. They like big government. They love the highest taxes in the entire country because they can employ all their friends and family.
It sounds like Democrats. I'll be honest with you.
It's just like Cook County, only it's the inverse.
It's interesting because I think that's the rap that Democrats get. I guess it's because of the city of Chicago and Cook County, but here you say it, it's just politicians.
It's just the same thing. And listen, I think we need a balance. There's no way there's ever going to be any reform unless a guy like me comes in and says, we're going to reform it. They have no incentive to do so. Why would they do it? I mean, they're all in it together.
We're talking with Representative Jack Franks, who is not running for re-election in the House, the State House, and he is going to run for chairman of the board in McHenry County. Let's take a quick break. We'll get an update. Rob Martier in the news. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation here with Representative Jack Franks. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock. Patty Vasquez comes on at 11. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Picnic. Matt Klein will be here. We're picking nicknames for John Lackey and Miguel Montero. Lackey and Montero. Montero had a big game today. Had a big double in the ninth inning, so he's fresh on our minds. Lackey pitched well, sort of. So that's the best thing you can say about John Lackey. He pitched well.
I like winning on a wild pitch today. That was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. All right, Representative Jack Franks is in studio with me now. Of course, he's not running for re-election. His seat in McHenry County, Marengo, will be up. He's instead running as chairman for the McHenry County Board. We've been talking about McHenry County politics and what it takes to reform. One of the things that always gets brought up, and we kind of started to touch on it before we stopped for the news, was this idea of consolidation. And consolidation is something we've had Mary Sue Barrett in from the Metropolitan Planning Council in here.
Great.
And we've talked about this idea that there are so many units of government. McHenry County is no different. There are a lot of different units and municipalities that are in play.
Absolutely. And we need to be more cooperative. And I met today with a bunch of the different agencies throughout the county, and I was talking to them about it. I said, we have to figure out ways to be much more efficient and to share our services. We have to stop the idea of the fiefdom mentality where everybody has an executive director and different agencies and everything we're doing. I mean, we need to cooperate with the townships, with the individual municipalities. I mean, there's a lot of things that there's overlap that we don't need to be doing. So that's something I'm really going to push.
I always think about it, Jack. I always think it like media.
Yeah.
Media and politics are not that different in the way that media has had to change their structures and they've had to change the way that they've reached to audiences and platforms. And politics has to do the same thing. Do you see that being possible? I mean, it's an older game in the sense that there's more people who aren't used to change and adverse to change. But is it possible to get this influx of a way to change the actual fundamental functions of government and the way we do things?
That's a great question. It's not going to be easy, but it must happen. It's inevitable. If we are going to survive...
The budgets are just too big.
If we're going to survive as a state or as a county, we have to fundamentally reform how we deliver governmental services. What worked in the past is no longer working. People can't afford to live here anymore. We are overtaxed. It's really our tax policies have become anti-family, because if you are on a fixed income and you are a senior citizen, you are being ripped away from your family because you have to move away because you can no longer afford your home. That is not what America's about. We need to fix that. We have no choice. And if we don't fix it, every one of us should be thrown out of office.
Does it come down to fiefdoms that it doesn't want to change? I mean, I'm not even talking about McHenry County. We talk about Springfield. We talk about Cook County, whatever. But in your experiences as a representative, is that what's standing in the way of it? Holding on to what they
earned? There's a lot of entrenched interests who like it just like it is because they do really, really well. I tried to pass a thing a few years ago called the Constitutional Convention, and I thought it was very necessary to do so we could talk about term limits, so we could talk about pension reform, so we could talk about all the structural things that ought to be changed in Illinois, right? The fair maps, the whole deal. both sides were against it. The Republicans trotted out Jim Edgar and bought $3 million worth of ads. The Democrats trotted out, you know, big labor. Everyone was against it because they both knew that if the people had an opportunity to fundamentally change the political landscape and government, that they would probably lose. And they didn't want that to happen.
Media companies were sort of forced by the private sector to change.
Right.
I mean, they're forced by startups and other people who are doing it, social media. You see the Snapchats and the Facebooks right. come in and they do things that the ABCs and the NBCs are like, I got to catch up.
Right.
How do you force change in politics?
I think you have to lead by example. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I want to run McHenry County. I want to prove again that government can actually work for the people, that we can be transparent, that we can be accountable, that we can answer directly to the citizens and deliver the services efficiently, effectively, and at the lowest cost. I mean, listen, government is not a dirty word, and it shouldn't be. We need to provide for our citizens, but we need to do it in their interest and not in those of people who are in office.
You know your county pretty well.
Yeah.
It's a Republican county. You're a Democrat. You're running for chair, as you just said, to run the county.
Right.
I mean, I'm a Chicagoan now. I mean, I grew up in Wonder Lake in McHenry County, but I would say that I think the phrase is pigs fly to see a Democrat that would actually run McHenry County. How do you anticipate? What's the strategy to get Republicans to cross the aisle to vote for a D?
They always have for me. I've been very fortunate. And my wife and I, Debbie and I, have gone door to door and spoken to many of the folks, and we're doing the same thing. I tell you, I haven't, it's going to sound immodest, but I haven't lost a precinct in over a decade. My victory margins are usually 65-35. And I'm winning because I get Republican votes, I get independent votes, and I get Democratic votes. The same thing is going to happen here. We're going door to door throughout the rest of the county, and it's phenomenal. The outpouring of affection that we're getting. So I'm very confident that we'll be able to do that. And I'm going to have the people behind me. Now, I know some of the folks on the county board aren't going to be happy that I'm there forcing some of the change, but I'll have the people behind me and we'll get it done. I mean, as I said, it's not going to be easy at the beginning. I'm going to be open-minded. I want to be able to help people get what they need and their vision of government as well. But we're going to have to work together to reform it. And that's what's going to happen. As I said before, they can take it hard or they can take it easy, but it's going to happen.
I'm telling you, man, that's on the poster. All right, so let's start. I mean, you've actually had a career in politics where you have been able to challenge the status quo and no more. Do you have to look any further than Governor Blagojevich? You early on, before even the federal charges and even the arrest, You knew from the get-go that there was something amiss with Governor Blagojevich.
It took me about a year because I saw him. He was acting so erratically. And when I was working with him, I'd go to his office and he would act so juvenile. I mean, it was ridiculous. I'm like, what's going on? And I was going through some of the things that he was doing, and he had so many enablers around him. No one ever told him no. And he always thought that he was going to be president. So if he really, and he was always raising money. And if he would have put half the amount of effort into actually governing, he might have actually been good because he was charismatic, he was smart, he was quick. But he never really cared about governing. He always cared about enriching himself. So he was raising these huge amounts of money and claiming all these efficiencies in government. So I'm chairman of state government administration in the House. And I started having hearings to find out what was going on because it just, nothing added up to me. And when I was going through the budget, I discovered that he had taken $68 million because he had claimed efficiencies in certain organizations. Like he would say, Illinois Department of Transportation saved $17 million, so I'm going to take this line item and put it here. So he took $68 million, and then what he was doing was giving no bid contracts to people who gave him big campaign donations. In one instance, he gave a contract of $32 million to a company that didn't exist until they got the contract. I mean, just crazy.
Those are the stories that we read about in Boss. Those are the stories from Chicago politics.
Right. But I've discovered these things, and I was going through that. So I started having hearings, and I started to swear in the witnesses for the first time. It had never been done. And when I called one of my hearings, and I had called the director of Central Management Services, and he sent his lawyer instead of showing up. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he goes, well, I'm here on behalf of the director. I says, no, you don't represent the director. You represent CMS. Get out of here. Send your guy. I want him here tomorrow morning. I adjourned again. You know what he did? He resigned that night. Ooh. He did not want to come and be under oath in my committee.
At that point, what are you thinking?
I knew I had him. And then it was all systems
go. So you just
go.
At that point when you were, as a Democrat, you were just in your position, you saw a pattern of corruption.
Absolutely. Absolute pattern of corruption. And I didn't know where to go. I didn't know how big it went. So I called a buddy of mine from law school, David Felsen, and I said, Felsen, fly out. He was the smartest kid in our law school class. I said, I need some help. I said, I don't know who to talk to because I have no idea who might be involved. So he helped me. We went through the whole thing. I had him come to committee with me and act as my own. I had him as my own lawyer. I said, I want you sitting next to me, helping me with this. So we just kept pushing.
And you're right. Like, you don't know who's involved. I mean, right. It could be leaders in the Democratic Party, Republican. Yeah. It could be anybody at
right.
that point. Right.
I had no idea. And then Speaker Madigan, to his great credit, allowed me all the latitude I needed to go forward. And he empowered me to have all these hearings and kept going forward. And we turned over all of our findings, you know, to the feds. And really, the committee hearings that I held were the basis of the impeachment for Governor Blagojevich.
You were calling for impeachment, and there was, and I mean, obviously a Democrat calling for the impeachment of a Democratic governor, even before the arrest, was almost going too far. It was a lot of pushback. People were like, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, that's what they thought. I knew I was right, though. And, you know, one person who's right is a majority in my book. You keep pushing until they come around. I mean, I was threatened by people. I was told to back off. I had, you know, party bigwigs, you know, come to my office and tell me to knock it off. And I said, I'm not going to knock it off. I said, you know, I've got this seat. The only way I'm going to shut up is if you beat me. So until then, I'm going to say whatever I want to say.
Do you think that because it ultimately, as history, as we all know, Governor Blagojevich, after being arrested, was impeached.
Yeah.
Which was still a big thing for Democrats to do that to a sitting Democratic governor. Do you think that experience and your role in that experience has helped you in say, McHenry County because they saw that you weren't necessarily a party line guy, that you were more about getting to the truth in that situation than following sort of the leader of one political party?
Yeah, I think so. I think I've always prided myself on being a person who will speak truth to power. And I don't care what party you're in. I'll stand up to anybody. You know, when George Ryan was there, I did the same. I did it with Rod, and I've stood up to Speaker Madigan many times. I think we have a respect for each other because I tell him where I'm at.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been upset with me, I know, when I've stopped his tax increases, but that's what I firmly believe. And I told him that, straight up. And I said, if you need the extra votes, you're going to have to get them from the other aisle. And I got a lot of, you know, I got a lot of pressure from a lot of, you know, special interests who wanted me to cave, but that wasn't the right thing to do. And I stood by my convictions.
You have been, I mean, as a Democrat, I mean, some of the things that you've stood in the way of with your vote are things that are at core Democratic sort of, I wouldn't say principles or values, but just talking points. The millionaire's tax.
Right, right.
Progressive tax or income. Some of these things that, you know, I've had guests in the studio that say this is what we have to do to make the city right and or the state right. And those are things that you usually fall in the line to say, no, we're not doing that. Why?
Well, because it was poor public policy. That's all it was. I mean, the millionaire's tax has been used in other states and it hasn't worked. Millionaires are mobile. They're able to leave the state. And other states that have implemented that tax have actually lost revenue. So it might be a really good soundbite. And it might be really good politically because you can stick it to the rich guy, right? But it's bad public policy because ultimately it hurts the state. And that's all I care about. And that's why how everybody should be looking at things instead of looking at it through a political prism. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, the smart political move is sure. You know, soak the rich, but it is not the right policy.
What about evaluating or reforming the way we do income tax in the state of Illinois?
Hallelujah. We need to fix our antiquated tax code. We need to incentivize job creators. We need to help the small business guy. Right now, our tax code only helps the big guy. We have to change that. We have to help everybody. Like right now, for our Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, we only help the really big ones. And that's the wrong policy to have because the job creators, they're three people, you know, businesses. It's the plumber, it's the electrician, it's whatever it might be. It's the person opening a store. We're not doing anything for those people. We need to embrace them and encourage them, and we need to grow jobs in this state. We'll get a lot more revenue if we grow jobs, and if we close these corporate loopholes. We have about $2 billion in corporate loopholes that we ought to be closing. That would bring a lot more revenue. That's how I want to bring revenue to the state. I don't want to raise taxes. I want to close corporate loopholes. Also, I don't know if you remember, but I got the private lottery manager fired because they were underperforming. I was the only one talking about that. Tribune did a great job on it, man. Matt Wahlberg, he's a great writer, pounded on these guys. They are underperforming. If they perform like the states of Georgia and Massachusetts, it'd be an extra $1 billion of revenue a year. That's a B. I've been able to provide with my ideas $3 billion in extra revenue without any tax increase.
All right, so let's wrap it up here because 18 years in the state house.
Yeah.
You're moving on to take on a challenge that is a challenge, and it's a new job. It's actually quote unquote a new job.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's something that you have to run for. You know, you're not running on an incumbent kind of platform, which you've done in the last couple of years. When you think about that, 16 years in the state house, and where we're at with the climate now, are you going to miss it?
Yeah, I tell you, I love. It's almost like being in the arena and on the floor and duking it out, it's great. And, you know, Teddy Roosevelt has the famous quote about being in the arena and having, you know, the blood on your face. I'm going to miss that. But I think becoming the county board chairman and the first time it's ever been elected and being an executive able to really change fundamentally the structure of government and helping so many people and being able to effectuate those changes, it's entirely exciting for me. And I'm really motivated to do it and to show that government can still work in Illinois.
Representative Jack Franks, my guest tonight. He's not running for re-election in his seat in Marengo, McHenry County. Instead, he's running for chairman of the McHenry County Board. Thanks for coming in, and good luck. And you know, if and when you win, and you got to come and be a guest on our show, we appreciate it.
Thank you so much.